Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I know a lot of people are out this for July 4th weekend, and I enjoy the different flags and the different shirts that people wear and hats. I like your hat, Shirley. It's a good patriotic hat. And hopefully you'll have some fun stuff to do tomorrow or with family or whatnot. If people are coming to visit you or you're going to visit them, I do pray that you have a wonderful 4th. Think about the things that it means, and think about the reasons why we do celebrate. Do take time, and if you do have time to read or discover, and maybe that's something that you know very well, but there's so much rich history, Christian history, history of prayer, history of people who dedicated themselves to the Lord. And I really believe we became a nation because people, their commitment to God, their commitment to faith, and their prayers were heard as many people were praying during that time of where it probably seemed, honestly, that the world was very dark and very difficult, where lives were being threatened, and some of the hardships that people went through in those days. So sometimes we have to think back. We think of the celebrations. We also had to think what people did go through to earn victory, to have independence. And many, many people who were founding of this country were people of faith, people who prayed, who sought the Lord. And that's not my message this morning, but I do want to say, because I am going to speak about prayer. And I can connect those two, because if you do read our history, you read about the founding fathers, they were people of prayer, families of prayer. And some of them had to run for their lives, because we kind of forget sometimes that there were perilous times. If they were caught, they would be hung by the British. Their lives were at stake. And oftentimes, even they lost their house, their livelihood, their farms in the midst of that battle. So we praise God for the sacrifices that have gone before us and the many, many prayers that have been prayed for God to do his work in America. And you know today that he's still doing his work in America. We may have and may look at times that look fairly perilous. And we may see some things that we don't like, things that you would say are anti-Christian. But God is in the midst of it. He's doing work. He is causing a people to rise up. And I believe one thing God is calling on his people and on his church to do is to pray. To be fervent in prayer. To seek him. To know him in this time. I think that's as the church, the body of Christ, but also individually as well. So I want to start, actually I'll start with Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful. Those are powerful things right there. That one verse, there's a lot of power. Calling us to be devoted in our lives to prayer, prayerfulness, but also to be very watchful and thankful, to be watchful for what God's doing. And I think that's something that we're called to do. Be watchful. You may read the news. You may hear things. Some things you have to kind of look through and go deeper to see what's going on, what's happening in the world today. Sometimes you need to pray the prayer. Say, Lord, in the midst of all this stuff I don't like, stuff that worries me, where are you, Lord? Where are you in the midst of it all? Those are prayers that we need to pray. Because sometimes God needs to open our eyes and say, no, I'm here. I'm in the midst of it all. I don't know what you think about Roe versus Wade, but I really believe it's an act of God that's been years in the making. That now it's going to go back to the states. And it's going to go back for states to decide. But I believe that's been a working years in the making, and it's been prayers. People have been praying for this for decades. Decades. There have been people who have long passed on that did not see their prayers answered, but yet now their prayers have been answered. And we celebrate that, because there was a time where honestly people thought that that would never happen. That would never happen. There was such a stronghold in that area but prayers have been answered, and God shifted the tide. But one thing I can say is, one thing I feel, even as I pray in my prayer time, is that, and I've heard it even from other pastors, and I agree with their prayers too, is that this is the time for the church to stand up. We think, oh, the work's done, right? No, I think it's just begun. Because there's a ministry that the church must have. Because even more than ever, the support that the church gives to women in need who are facing crisis issues in their life, it's all the more important that they experience the love of God, the grace and mercies of God, to show that they're not alone, that God has a plan for them that's much greater, that they're not hopeless, their life is not desperate, they don't have only one choice, but they have choices for life, and life that can come out in a way that they have no idea, that God can turn something so desperate, so hard, so difficult, and God can make beauty for ashes. He can bring life to something that seems hopeless. And that's the something that we need to know about our God. And as a church, we need to proclaim that, but we need to come alongside people. We need to help people and give to that. So that's something that we think about, whether we're supporting a crisis pregnancy center or we're specifically interceding in our prayers for people who are facing this. I do believe it's time for the church to stand up and be more present even in society than ever. Prayer is important. And being watchful for what God is doing, for being watchful for what we need to be praying for, and to be thankful that God has answered and is answering prayers. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer. In fact, I feel like I'm going to spend several weeks on prayer, and I will mention our prayer time on the 16th. So don't forget me, or if I'll just see a wave over there. Because I believe that's what we're absolutely called to do. But let me ask you, what's your prayer life like? I think we're people, a church of prayer, a people of prayer. And so asking that is kind of like, well, yes, I know about prayer, and I'm probably really preaching to people who know a lot about prayer. So I'm not necessarily here to tell you anything new today. But maybe you can pull away a nugget that's going to be important for you to take with you, something that even reminds you about your walk with God. So how often do you pray? In what manner do you pray? Where do you pray? These are all questions that sometimes we're like, well, I pray anywhere. I pray wherever. I pray at my home. I pray in the church. I pray on my knees. I pray standing up. I pray on my face. I pray with my hands up. I pray. If you read the Bible talks about all kinds of things. It talks about David sitting before the Lord. It talks about King Solomon with his hands raised up in the temple praying. We get different pictures of people prostrating themselves before the Lord. I don't think there's any one manner to always pray, but there's different manners. Sometimes the way we position ourselves. Do you have that place of prayer, that uninterrupted place of prayer where the phone doesn't ring and all of a sudden your time is cut short? And have you seen the effects of prayer? Can you give witness to a prayer life that you saw things change? And maybe it wasn't just your prayers, maybe it was the prayers also of others, but you saw the effects of prayers, how things moved in people's lives, maybe how things happened in your life. You saw the effects of prayer. Do you ever consider what prayer is all about? Have you ever had those thoughts of, you know, why do we pray? Why do we pray? And we know that it's not just a religious activity. We know that. And we know that the Bible tells us to pray, just like the Colossians 4:2. It even tells us how to pray and what mindset to pray, even giving us a guide or a pattern to pray. So if you're ever not sure about how to pray, there's their scripture. Maybe even do a Bible study on prayer. Do a word study. Get on Bible Gateway and just type in prayer or type in pray. You're going to get a lot of scriptures. And that would be just a great Bible study to do. If you're having a hard time praying or your prayer life is just kind of muddling along and seems to be kind of lifeless, read about prayer. What does the Bible say about prayer? I looked up prayer. There's over 150 mentions, words on prayer in the Bible, different scriptures. So you could have days of studying the scriptures. And it's good, because it's very essential to the Christian life. And sometimes we just need to come back and remember, what is prayer all about? And why is it so foundational and essential for the Christian walk? Well, I do want to cover a few points today about prayer. Why do we pray? The purpose of prayer. And maybe how we need to take it even more seriously than we do. We could take it seriously, but maybe we should take it more seriously in the sense of how we approach it. Well, first of all, let's talk about major purposes of prayer. First of all, prayer is relational. I think we would all agree, and we understand what prayer is. Jesus says it very clearly. Prayer is not about looking good before others. In fact, Jesus condemns that. He just condemns that, putting on the robes, you know, praying the high, lofty words that nobody understands. If I got up here and prayed in King James English, what good is that? That, you know, if I prayed, say, in words that you don't understand or not very understandable, you know, what good is that to you, right? Maybe it makes me look educated. Maybe it makes me look, you know, very, I don't know, authoritative. I don't know. But that's not what prayer is all about. Because first and foremost, prayer is relational. It provides connection. It's conversation. Jesus showed us how to pray. He modeled it with his life. And that's good, because we got to think about, wait a minute, Jesus was God. And at the same time, Jesus was man. But he felt and he knew he had a need daily to pray to the Father. So here he is. He's God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And here we have a situation where he says, well, does Jesus need to pray? It's like, well, yes, he does. He feels the need every day to pray. In fact, he has busy days of ministry with multitudes of people. And then what does he do at the end of the day? He goes and prays. Sometimes he goes and gets away from everybody and goes up to the mountaintop to be alone to pray with God without any interruptions. Because how many of y'all know Jesus had interruptions? He had lots of interruptions because people had needs. And wherever Jesus went, people had needs and they brought them to him. So even in his tiredness, even in his weariness, he went to pray. He found refreshing in prayer. He found the voice of the Father significant to him for his purposes and what he was to do on the earth. He stayed connected with the Father. He had a robust prayer life. And it kept him firmly rooted in God's purposes for his life. I think that also just speaks simply to who we're to be as human beings and how we're to have a relationship with God. Jesus modeled it, that we are to stay connected. We're to stay connected with the Father. And in fact, sometimes if we begin to lose our purpose, it's because sometimes maybe our prayer life has gotten interrupted, has kind of gotten stagnant. And sometimes we're forgetting what it's all about and what our life is all about. And so we need to re-up on the connection with God. Jesus kept a strong relationship with the Lord. In fact, the greatest pain of Jesus' life was on the cross, the time when the Father actually forsook him and put the whole sin of the world upon him. And at that point, he felt the connection broken. It felt that the Father had turned his back on him. And in that moment, he had, because the judgment now, it's almost the Father stood as the judge over Jesus and put the weight of the world, the sins of the world on him. That probably had to be, honestly, the most painful experience of Jesus' life, to be totally, to have that relationship broken. Jesus did know the voice of the Father. And it was everything to him. When the Father spoke over him that he was pleased with the Son, it spoke identity and who he was. And the Lord is also desires to speak those words over us. The early church also lived out this model as well. We see that the early church, they came together for daily prayer. Daily prayer. Prayer was integral to the life of the church. Acts 2:42 says, they, the early disciples, the early Christian church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. It was one of the foundational core things that the church gathered around. The church gathered together for these different things, but prayer is one of those foundational things that the church came together to do. They practiced praying together. It connected them with God, and it also connected them as a church. Prayer has a way of doing that. Because when we pray together, when we agree together in prayer, when we are going to the Father together, it brings unity. It brings connection in the body of Christ. Prayer also has a very important role in doing this in the church. So first and foremost, when we think about prayer, we need to think about relationship. That's primary. That's primary. That we're connecting with God. We're connecting with Him and speaking to Him, talking to Him, and we need to have the ongoing conversation with Him and keep open lines with Him. Number two, prayer is designed to keep us firmly rooted in Christ, to keep our roots firm in Him. I don't think you would disagree with me, but I would say that strong Christians have consistent and solid prayer lives. Strong Christians have strong prayer lives. And on the other end, weak Christians generally have very weak prayer lives. Now, sometimes it's not that easy, that simple, but prayer strengthens us. Connecting with the Father, this is part of it, part of spending time with God in prayer. It actually strengthens us. It brings us closer to God, closer to the heart of the Father, where we can know Him more. So we want to stay strong as Christians. If we want to stay stronger Christians, then we need to make sure our prayer life, we have a devoted prayer life in Him. And not as sometimes, and I say sometimes, this is the case certainly as a young Christian, we approach God in a way that can sometimes be like just praying things to Him with lists, just giving Him things like, Lord, I need this, this, and this, this done. Or I have this and this and this concern. And sometimes that's as far as our prayer life gets, but that's not very relational, right? We would say that's not very relational. And we know that because when you've developed your own prayer life, you develop talking with God and listening to God and having that relationship. And it has to, and we know that it has to get beyond just a wish list, but keeping it relational with God. Romans 12:11-12, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Part of keeping a strong spiritual walk with God is faithfulness in prayer. Keeping a faithful time to spend time with the Lord. Strong Christians have strong prayer lives. Strong Christians make time for the Lord. It's almost like saying, I'm giving time to the Lord, special time, specific time, because I need that time. And I don't know about you, because sometimes I feel that. I feel that even in my own weakness. I feel, Lord, I need time with You. When I feel weak, I sense that I need time with the Lord. It's life. There's a life connection there with God. Strong prayer life will keep you stable and keep you able. Stable in your mindset, in just how you see the world and how you perceive things, and able to move forward in life with peace. When things get tough, when things get difficult, when things get hard, your prayer life is like an anchor, like a rootedness in Him, and even affects how you see things and perceive things and how you go about things. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 speaks to not being anxious. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That scripture is telling us that, yet not to be anxious about anything, but whatever you face, whatever difficulties you might be dealing with, whatever hardships, whatever things that seem to be just throwing you for a loop or knocking you off the rail, so to speak, that bring it to God with prayers, with petitions. Bring it before the Lord. And it's there in prayer, it's there in your time with God that He can give you, that He does give. We've probably all experienced that, but that's where we need to go. If you haven't, it's like we have to get before the Lord, because in that, the Lord gives us peace. It's His gift, it's His blessing. He gives us peace even when there's not an answer yet for the problem. Even when we see that the issue is still ongoing. It's almost like we still see that the wound is still there. But the Lord can, even without our understanding, bring peace and let us know that I've got an answer for that. I've got an answer to heal that wound. I've got an answer to bring solution to that problem, to bring remedy, to bring wholeness where there's a lot of pain and hurt. But right now, have peace. Have peace. It says it will guard your hearts, it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And in this day, in this time, and really for all times, that's so important, that the Christian walk is not to get so upset, so out of sorts, so off kilter by stuff, by things, by circumstances, by whatever's happening in this world, to not get so off kilter to say, wait a minute, God. If you're the one who oversees it all, if you're the one who understands what's happening in the world, and you see all the bad and all the stuff and difficulties in my family and difficulties I'm having in my life, if you see that all and you say that I can have peace in you, that means you have some kind of answer that I don't have, but you have some way of doing things that I can't do. You have some resolve to whatever it is that you can bring it about and that I can trust you and have peace? Yes. Yes. And we bring it, those things, to God in prayer. Being prayerful really allows the working of the Holy Spirit in you. You know, it's kind of fun. People have said this often, and maybe you've heard this said. Prayer doesn't change God, but prayer oftentimes changes you. And sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen, that our prayerfulness, our commitment to prayer, is not to get God to change His mind or God to change His purpose. I mean, that's, God is God, right? He's unchanging. He does hear what's in our heart. He does hear what the desires of our heart. He does hear that. And sometimes it's not that he's even said no to something. He's saying, not yet, or now is not the time, or not in the way that you think. It's going to be different. But it's oftentimes when we go before God and we spend time, we devote time, that it's in the midst of that that He's changing us. He's doing a work in us. Holy Spirit's doing a work in us. And you know, sometimes the word comes to me, and it has to be said, sometimes it's the arrogance of man, of mankind, that we want God to do what we want Him to do, but don't mess with me. I'm good. I got things under control in my life. I just need you to do some things. If you could take care of this and take care of that, like somehow we're the CEO of God. That's the arrogance of man. And I hope you don't pray like that. I'm not saying anybody here does, but we need to quickly repent of that kind of prayer life. Because at that point, we've forgotten who God is. We've forgotten. But it is the case, and sometimes this is why some people don't have very strong prayer lives, is because they don't want to be changed. Or they're afraid of what changes God may bring. But do we trust Him? Do we trust that the changes that He wants to do in our lives are good and for the betterment of us and the betterment of others around us? First Peter 5:7, it says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So good prayer is humble prayer. And realizing that though even I may feel lowly at this time in this place, and there's times we go through valleys. You know, that's just part of life. Like, we go through valleys. But there is a time and a place where He will lift us up. Maybe it's not when we want, not how we want. Maybe we want things to end now. We want things to change now. But it says, humble yourselves and allow God to lift you up in due time. God will do that. He'll do His part. Your part is cast all your anxieties upon Him. Cast them. You know what I'm saying? That you, I don't know. I see a fishing rod, but I think it's also just a heaving ho over the boat and just letting it go into the waters. And letting it go into the waters to where you can't get it back. Let it be at the bottom of the ocean so that you can't swim down and get it. Because a lot of us, if we look at our lives, sometimes we try to give it to God. Anxiousness, fears, worries. We give it to God. And when we see that He's not doing too much with it, or it's not immediately resolved, we kind of go back and we get it. We get it again. And we say, okay, I'm gonna take care of this. But that was the problem to begin with, is those anxieties, those things, they were eating us up, they were causing problems, they were bringing burdens that we weren't really meant to bear, and that we were supposed to leave it at His feet and leave it. And don't go pick it back up again. At some point in life, I hope really we learn how every day in life to trust in God's hands, to trust in what He wants to do, and to trust in even how He's accomplishing things. Because really, when we go to prayer with burdens, and we go to prayer with anxieties, the whole point is we go in one way, and we come out a different way. Some of the problems with our prayer life can be if we go in, and we just want to tell God all the problems, and we just want to tell God about all the issues, and we want to spell out all the details of why this is a problem and maybe the things that He needs to do, and we just kind of rehearse it and run it over and over again, that's probably honestly not prayer. That's just probably more of a complaint session or a griping session. See, true prayer is coming in the presence of God. And when we bring stuff, well, He says, cast all your cares upon Him. And that He will give you a yoke to put upon you, but He says His yoke is light. His yoke is not heavy. And so really, if we truly go into prayer to come and humble ourselves before Him, to cast our anxiety, our fears, our worries upon Him, He really gives us the ability to walk out of that time with Him to a different person. Renewed, refreshed. That's what our God does. So He does. We just have to enter in with Him. Leave the agenda behind and say, Lord, I need You. This is too much for me. and I don't want to carry this anymore. Can I get your resolution? Can I get your heart for this situation? Can I get what you want out of this? And I guarantee you, he wants you to walk free of those burdens. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. That's a pretty powerful promise. And in this world right now, things are being shaken. You know, institutions that people have believed in for years and years and years and trusted in, some of these very institutions are being shaken. Now, they're not as trustworthy as they maybe once were thought to be. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm just going to use one example, but when I grew up watching news, maybe the days of Dan Rather and even before him, Tom Brokaw, and years of those people, y'all know, maybe people I don't even know, before those people, when everybody watched the three news stations, there was only three back then, I think, there was only three. Somewhere along the line, the fourth came along. But you actually, as a family, we watched news together. And we kind of trusted that what we were hearing was the real deal. And then over time, things change and shift, and things kind of get lopsided in this way and that way and the other, and things become a lot more political. Things become a lot more swayed. Now, I'm not saying that there was never a persuasion back then, because I think we all realize it's like, yeah, all news has persuasion of some sort or another. I'd rather it have a Christian persuasion, to be honest. And I will, you know, if there's a bias, let there be a Christian bias. Or from a perspective, from that perspective. But we start to realize, wait a minute, that institution that we, generations before us, trusted, and in our generation, right? Generations, we trust it. It's like, no, these days, that trust level, and even polls show, the trust level is way down. Way down, and people don't watch news like they used to. But if we will cast our cares on the Lord, he will sustain us, even as things in this world are being shaken. He will sustain us. Yet we must do our part. You know, fear, worry, and anxiety will wear us out. They'll just simply wear you out. It'll wear anybody out. In fact, it's the very thing that sends some people into depression, into clinical depression. It's fear, anxiety, worry, day after day after day. It has. Good Christian, faithful people. I mentioned Chris Valentin last week, and that was one issue he came to face in his life. That it seems like the heaviness of the world, but it brought him to a period of 6 months of depression, where he felt useless and not worth anything. He wasn't even sure if it was worth living, but he did have hope, and that hope did spring up, and he came out of that. So we don't have to wear ourselves out. Even if we're showing care for others, even if we're trying to be there to help others and to bless others and to help sustain others by our presence, by our care, by our prayers, let God sustain you so we don't wear ourselves out over something or someone. Because we can care at a very high level and yet still retain peace and still have peace in our hearts. See, the kind of relational prayer that God wants will bring forth peace. It will bring forth peace. We can go to God with burdens and come out with weights lifted off our shoulders. We can go in emotionally upset and come away with a peaceful assurance that somehow God's got this. He's got this. We have to remember prayer is connecting with God. And in prayer is many things. It's giving thanks to him. It's giving praise to him. It's bringing those burdens and fears to him. It's seeking his help for the things that we need help with. It's for provisions that we need. It's on and on. It's so many different things. It's to intercede for somebody else. It's to ask God for wisdom, the wisdom that we need in life, to make decisions that are very important. And sometimes it's just to sit at his feet, to be in his presence, to know him, and to enjoy him. That's relational. That God even says, yeah, prayer time is a time for you to just be in my presence. To enjoy the presence of the Father, to enjoy the Spirit. And that means taking time, making time. Sometimes it's hard to do it when you just have 5 minutes, but sometimes we need those quick prayers throughout the day. But then we have to remember that we have to make time to just sit at his feet and be in his presence. Prayer is about coming to God, coming and spending time with the Lord. It's like anything. It's like if you think about your parents or you think about your kids. You know what it feels like, or you've seen it where it's like, okay, the child comes to the parent and wants things. We all want things. But what kind of relationship is it when a child just goes to the parent and wants things but never relates with the parent? Right? It's the son who goes to the father and calls him up and says, Dad, I'm running short on some cash. Can you wire me some? I'm in some need here. All right? Thank you. Maybe I'll come visit sometime, okay, but you know, we'll see. And we just hang up. And you know how you feel about that. It's like if a son's coming to the father and just wanting things, but not coming to ever have a relationship, then there's a relationship disconnect. Because in relationships, we got to spend time to grow, to know the heart of the Father. That's part of what God wants, is spending time with him, to know his heart. It's like, you ever ask a question in prayer? It's like, Lord, I realize I'm seeing this, what I'm seeing in life. I'm seeing it this way. I'm seeing it my way through my eyes. Lord, how do you see this? What are you seeing? What are you seeing that I'm not seeing? How do you see this in a way that would change and alter the way I'm seeing this or approaching this? Sometimes that's a good prayer to pray, because we're at an end. We're at a wall, and we don't understand. And we need a different perspective. We need God's perspective. We need wisdom to carry us forward. So we come to God knowing that he is good. And also, here's the thing. God wants to give you gifts. God wants to bless you. But it's like anything. If in a relationship, he wants you. He wants you. A good father. He's a good father. And a good father wants to give good gifts. The Bible even says that if an earthly father gives good gifts to his son, how much more so would the heavenly father love to pour out gifts to his children? So we know that's the heart of the father, but it just comes back to that he wants us. And it's his prayer that we would want him. The good news is all that other stuff that sometimes we think about and pray about, well, yes, he has that too. Sometimes we can say it's the difference between seeking God's face or seeking his hands. Sometimes in prayer, Christians can get too focused on seeking what God can give with his hands, but not coming to him and seeking his face and having face-to-face time. So prayer is relational. It's so crucial. It roots us in him and keeps us from losing our bearings in life. God does hear our prayers, and God engages them. And that's part of what I was just saying. That's number three, really, is that God hears our prayers and he engages them. Sometimes not in the way that we think or the way we fully understand, but he does hear them and he does engage them. He answers them in many different ways. sometimes not as we expect, and they can be very different than what we expect. But in the midst of that, we learn more about God. And that's the watchfulness. Lord, how are you going to answer this prayer? And he does it. And just pay attention to what he does, because oftentimes it really reflects who he is. It's an interesting story from Dr. Cornelius Quick. Actually, we knew him from Oral Roberts University. And then he goes on, and he's doing different ministries now. But went on to get his doctorate after this, when our time when Erica was taking school at Oral Roberts, and we were there. And she actually had some classes with him. And he was just a regular guy. He really was. He was just a regular guy. But he ends up writing this book called Provide, about how God really showed himself in miraculous ways, giving just amazing provisions to him. So I just want to read this introductory story. When he was a college freshman, but living, you know, if you remember those days, living on ramen noodles, well, these are the days of living off ramen noodles. So he said, I'll read from the book. It says, college days were rough. Ramen was my best friend, not just because I'm Asian, he is, but because money was a rare commodity in that season of my life. Clean clothing was not very common unless I managed to scramble 10 quarters by the end of the week, 5 for wash, 5 for dry. I remember one of these days when I gathered my mountain of dirty laundry and made my way to the laundry mat. I took 5 steps out of my dorm room when it hit me like a ton of bricks. I only had 75 cents. And how was I going to do my laundry? A moment of stark reality, a sigh of disappointment, and 5 retracted steps later, I was back in my dorm room. I remember praying, Lord, if you could send ravens to feed Elijah, surely you can give me clean clothes. I went about my day. Later that evening, I was at church, and James, a homeless guy I had met the week before, walked up to me. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here's a dollar for you. James stretched out his hand towards me. I was lost for words. James walked up to me a second time that evening, this time digging deep into his jean pocket. Now I really don't know why I'm doing this, but here's another dollar for you, he said, handing me 4 quarters. James, I really do appreciate this, but you really don't have to do this. But James insisted. He says, you don't understand. I have to. I was dumbfounded by the profoundly uplifted. It took a while to sink in. Besides feeling immense gratitude, I must say the prospect of clean-smelling clothes excited me greatly. That night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a matter-of-fact tone, said, son, I am your source. Look to me and trust me. If I decide to hang money on a tree and have you pluck it down, then so be it. That's what I'll do. And that's the story. But I think it's so interesting how God answers, not in ways sometimes we think. And of course, he prayed about the ravens. And sometimes God works that way. And we just never know how maybe a dollar will just drop into our lap or who God will use. And sometimes it's kind of humbling. And I tell you, in some ways, I bet it was basically it's like saying, it's like, wait, but you're homeless. You need that. You probably need that for whatever. But what I love about God is God often answers prayers of sometimes more than one person, but he answers prayers of multiple people sometimes at the same time. I love that about God. It's, I think, the reason why God sometimes will speak to somebody on one side of the room and says, I want you to bless somebody on another side of the room. I don't know if that's happened to you, but it has happened to me. And sometimes it's just humbling to know that God spoke to somebody to do something for you, or God's speaking to you to do something for somebody else, that he can use you to meet somebody's need. And sometimes you're not even sure. Sometimes you just go up to them and say, hey, I just felt called to do this, or called to say this, or here's a word that I feel like the Lord has for you. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I feel like I need to say this. Just obey, because you never know what the Lord might be doing on the other end of that, the blessing that he's trying to bring. So God does amazing things, and And Cornelius got his 10 quarters that day to do laundry. And you never know, even using a homeless man, the Lord works. There's a story also about Chris Valentine. He shares about learning to hear God. And they were going through this in the church. They were spending time in the church really honing their ears to hear God more. Going to prayer. They were in the church on Sunday nights praying, seeking the Lord, trying to hear God's voice, because that's what they were trying to train themselves to do in their prayer time. And sometimes they were getting words of knowledge. And sometimes they would have to stand up and say, well, I think the Lord is saying this. Does anybody resonate with that? And so they were learning how to do this, to hear God's voice. And it was interesting in this season because he was working as he owned a car shop at the time. He was not a pastor at the time. He was had a car shop. And he had this business that they were fixing all the trucks for this business. And so they had brought them a truck. And the truck he had to fix by, you know, about a week from that time. And they were told, you know, do whatever it needs and just fix it. And he tried and tried and tried. He was the owner, and he just put all of his time into trying to fix this truck and get it started, and he couldn't find the problem. He called the Chevy dealership and said, hey, I need a wiring manual on this thing because something's here, wiring issue not starting. I need help. He spent a day talking to somebody, getting the wiring manual to figure it out. Couldn't solve. He said he spent 3 straight days, couldn't get the truck to start. And then he goes into the weekend, and he's got to have this thing, I think, by Tuesday fixed, and he can't figure it out. So that Sunday night, he's there praying, and they're kind of hear words for the Lord, and it just hit him as an idea, like an idea that seemed to come out of the blue. It's like, wait a minute, if you give words and you speak about people, like, you know, we would give words to people to bless people, Lord, would you give words about trucks? And it just hit him and dawned on him. It's like, Lord, do you do that? And so Monday he went into the shop, I think bright and early, because he didn't want anybody to be there. And he started praying, you know, about the truck. And then he said, he laid his hands, because they, you know, used to lay his hands on the truck, and said, Lord, what's wrong with this truck? Or I don't know exactly how he said it, but he says, Lord, what is going on with this truck? And then the Lord immediately gave him an image of a diode wiring underneath the fender. And because that image immediately came to him, he's like, well, that can't be. I've looked through the wiring on this truck, and that doesn't exist. I never saw that. But then the voice came back and said, well, then you wouldn't have thought about that then. And then he realized, yeah, how am I going to think about something I don't even know exists? And so he put the truck up on the platform or whatever, lifted it, and went under there, got the light under there, and there he saw a wire broken on the wheel or the fender of the well, fender, whatever it is. And he soldered it, put the wire back together, started up the truck, it was fixed. You never know what you're going to get out of prayer. You never know what God's going to say. And the thing is I don't know about you, but there's times when we've lost keys in the house that we just have to pray. But I can also tell you, and I'm not saying every time, but there's also been times when you immediately get an image of like, oh, yeah, let me look there. You go and look, and there it is. I'm telling you, that's Holy Spirit. And we think, oh, that's not God. That's just me remembering. But it's truly an answer to prayer. Usually we wear ourselves out, you know, trying to look, and says, well, and then it finally hits us, well, why don't we pray about that? God knows, right? We say silly things like maybe God knows. But it's amazing. God engages our prayers. We just need to give it to him. You don't know how sometimes he will answer. Well, we're to stay in communication with God. We're to keep open lines of communication. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, rejoice always, pray continually. And then other translations say, pray without ceasing. And the New Living Translation says, pray without stopping. Now, the idea is pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Keep those lines open at any point in time. So prayer is not just something I do in the morning for devotion and I leave and then pray. Like, no, the lines of communication always stay open. So that at any point in time, I need to lift a prayer up. I need to speak with God and keep those lines of communication open. Finally, prayer prepares us. It prepares us for whatever we need preparation for. Acts 13 speaks about preparation in the early church. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for work in which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. There's preparation in prayer. God always wants to prepare you. He wants to prepare the church. You see, the Lord knows the season that you're going into. He already knows that, right? He knows the season for Messiah Christian Church that we're going into. Prayer, sometimes God doesn't tell us. He just doesn't tell us the season we're going into. Sometimes we're confused about the season we're in. But prayer is preparation. Because in the midst of our time with God, he's preparing our heart. He may even be stirring up some desires in you. And pay attention if those desires are consistent. I can start naming things, but I don't think I need to name things of what desires could be. But pay attention. He's stirring some desires in you. And you know they're not bad desires. They're things that are good. So committing yourself to prayer will help prepare you for the next season of your life. It will help bring direction. Sometimes it will help bring correction. Sometimes the course that you're on, there needs to be a correction in that course because you're a little off course. So prayer can bring direction, can bring correction. Something, even the way you're doing things in life, sometimes you're doing things in a way in life that you need correction because it's just not, that's not the way God wants to achieve things in your life. It's not the way it needs to work. There needs to be a shift in the way you're doing things and how you're going about things. Some of that's your prayer life. I know that's one thing God spoke to me recently. It's like, spend more time with me. I say, well, I pray. But that wasn't the point. God says, I want you to spend more time with me. So I believe that in the midst of that, there's preparation. Prayer will bring preparation. For the church, for Messiah Christian Church, we also need to consider that as well, that we need to pray. And for this, for your personal reason or for as a church, we need prayer. Because prayer is also preparation for the season that we're in as a church. That's also one thing I will mention, that we are having that prayer time on Saturday morning the 16th. And that's something, it's really coming back to it, because this church has often had times of prayer as a church, has often had times for interceding or for just prayer and worship, for just times of coming together. And we're going to do that on the 16th at 8:30 in the morning. We invite you, if you'd like to come. We're going to pray. We're going to worship and pray and spend time with the Lord. And we're going to also hear what God may have to say in that time. So you're welcome to come, and we'll put that on the Word Out Wednesday as well. But think about it. If you could access the greatest wisdom in the world for your life or the life of the others, would you do it? I think we would, right? I think that's an obvious answer. But it's just us making the priority to commit to a greater relationship, to say God wants to speak some things to us. But sometimes it's him who's waiting on us, not us waiting on him. So I pray that we all come into a season of a greater prayer life, a greater walk with the Lord, and that we will see the working even of prayer in our lives and the things that we're even praying about. But maybe the most important thing is your life, your walk with God, and what the Lord wants to do in you and what the Lord wants to prepare you for. So that's my prayer this morning for us, and that God will take us to a deeper place.